Today on Compassion Radio.
It was still a shaking, and we started singing for the people because people were crying. And we saw that we had a hope. We have a hope in Jesus. We cannot cry like other people. So we started doing a worship service in the open area, sing the song.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Pastor Harka is a mighty man of God in a compact package. His burning faith in Jesus and his love for the people of Nepal have helped him survive seemingly insurmountable challenges, including a massive earthquake that flattened most of this mountain kingdom. Join Bram today as they reflect on how even in a season of despair, they were able to continue meeting needs and rescuing orphans, just like the church should. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part two of that conversation.
So you're raising the children of Nepal to be a new generation of young Josiahs, people to raise up and transform their country from the inside out. And you're building
a church. You may not believe they are serving the Lord.
Well, tell me about it. How are they serving God now?
So the kids we raise, the girls married to a pastor.
Very good.
The pastor's wife, and we planted a church given to them.
They are serving
the Lord.
So that was your first offspring church, so to speak?
Yes.
So what's happened since then? You have your family expanding literally, and you're sending them out to start churches, but things have been happening since then. Tell me more about the transition to becoming a pastor of pastors.
Yes. And then I'm continuing my life stories in the Lord. So last 13 years, in 2003, I got married. 2004, I started a church. And then 2006, after 2 years serving in the church, I came to El Monte for my master's in theology program, where Lord opened a door for me for full scholarship. And in 2007, I think I met a Noam.
Yes. And you were together in Los Angeles area when you met, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And he visited. And after 2006 to 2008, I finished school. I went back again, continued the church. And in between also, I've been going there and then taking care kids and home and regularly. And 2012 and before, like from 8, my church is an independent church, a part of Evangelical Alliance in Nepal.
Very good. Is that something that predated you, or did you actually help start that Evangelical Alliance?
No. It was Evangelical Alliance was started in 1960. In 1960, there was only 30 believers in the country.
The entire nation. Wow.
Entire nation.
So you are some of the first fruits then.
Yes. And then, so in 8, from 8, I was involved, but the church I was in, for Baptist church in eastern part of Nepal, that was also part of Evangelical Alliance. But my service with the Evangelical Alliance was, my church became a member. And then I was involved in the regional leadership, taking care of pastors, training. And the more and more I desire Lord more, and maybe I don't know, I can say I'm more eager for the Lord, but Lord has started giving me more and more to serve. And I serve in a regional level with the 500 churches, 500 pastors. In central region. Then Lord again gave me another responsibility to take care of whole Evangelical Alliance in 2012.
Wow.
I was a general secretary of Evangelical Alliance. When I say Evangelical Alliance, there is a World Evangelical Alliance and Asia Evangelical Alliance.
Right.
And different continent there is an Evangelical Alliance. So we have a 16 country in Asia. So we meet together.
Very good.
So Nepal is a first chapter. So I led 2012 to 14. So with 2,000 churches, they are part of Evangelical Alliance there.
And that covers a territory about how large?
It's 80% of total Christians population it covers there.
Just in the country of Nepal or the other mountain countries?
It's in Nepal.
Okay. So the national association, this Evangelical Alliance, has grown to how many churches total now?
2,000 churches.
2,000 churches, which means at least 2,000 pastors, I suppose.
Yes.
And how do you wrangle all those people? That's hard work, even if you've got great highways and big budgets. That's a hard job. You're talking about a country that has its own challenges geographically, and in the past few years, some horrible challenges having to do with the earthquakes, which we heard a little bit about the West, but it kind of died off the news fairly quickly. So tell me about some of the big challenges the churches are facing, especially since the massive earthquake, which leveled so much of the country.
Okay. I would come there.
Okay.
I would come there with this. And so 2 years ago, so in 12 to 14, I served as general secretary. And then in 14, I moved into Wycliffe Associates.
Okay.
The leading business wing there. So they particularly go in different countries where restricted areas to open up business platform and translate the Bible.
Yes.
So I'm leading that one.
Very good.
And
is this in addition to the other work with the Alliance? Or
yes,
are you,
okay. yes.
You're putting on a lot of hats.
Yeah, lots of hats. We like hats, you know.
Yes,
we like hats.
Nice warm hats,
like hats
up there, don't you?
Yes. And the big earthquake happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was massive earthquake. 12,000 over people died.
Yes.
Many. It covers 40 districts of whole country affected.
Wow.
14 districts were totally demolished.
Yeah.
It was massive.
If you think about the scope of the country, even if we just limit it to maybe a U.S. state, if you think about the numbers of counties that are in a state like Arkansas or Iowa, which is, I think, similar in size to what Nepal is now, and you're talking about dozens and dozens of counties. If you were to say more than half of those counties were not just affected but were flattened, that not one building was left standing, that's the kind of challenge you're facing.
So it was tough. It was tough. Actually, on Friday, Saturday, we were worshiping the Lord, and it was 11:55. I was just preaching, and I was going into my topic, and I started just the first heading, and there hits the earthquake.
Hmm.
I mean, so, we were shattered here and there inside with the kids and everybody. We were about 80 to 100 people in small hall.
Yeah.
Squeeze. It was really tough.
This was all happening during the worship service?
Yes, and the first earthquake.
So what did you do at that moment?
We had no ways to cry to the Lord. My pulpit was fall down, and then believers were here. Kids were crying, weeping, and we had only one door. There was no ways to go. And my wives and others were taking care of younger kids in the upstairs, another flat. We were in the middle. It was disaster.
Mm.
It was disaster. We had no hope.
So you had no hope in that moment. But what happened to the people?
Yes. Then we were all crying and, crying to the Lord and praying. That was only one thing we could do because there was nothing else we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And when earthquake started kind of slowing down, we came out on the street, and the street was again shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't go inside. And the Saturday, so we came out on the street. Got a guitar, somebody. It was still shaking, and we started singing for the people because people were crying. And we saw that we had a hope. We have a hope in Jesus. We cannot cry like other people.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members. But sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful, artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And there's a brand new way to contact us right now through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's COMPASSION to 53445. You can also give to this month's special project for Door of Hope by texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you so much for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
The big earthquake happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was massive earthquake. 12,000 over people died.
Yes.
Many. It covers 40 districts of whole country affected.
Wow.
14 districts were totally demolished.
Yeah.
It was massive.
If you think about the scope of the country, even if we just limit it to maybe a U.S. state, if you think about the numbers of counties that are in a state like Arkansas or Iowa, which is, I think, similar in size to what Nepal is now, and you're talking mm-hmm. about dozens mm-hmm. and dozens of counties. If you were to say
yeah.
more than half of those counties were not just affected but were flattened, that not one building
right.
was left standing, that's the kind of challenge right. you're facing.
So it was tough. It was tough. Actually, on Friday, Saturday, we were worshiping the Lord. And it was 11:55. I was just preaching and I was going into my topic. And I started just the first heading and there hits the earthquake.
Hmm.
I mean, so, we were shattered here and there inside with the kids and everybody. We were about 80 to 100 people in small hall.
Yeah.
Squeeze. It was really tough.
This was all happening during the worship service?
Yes, and the first earthquake.
So what did you do at that moment?
We had no ways to cry to the Lord. My pulpit was fall down, and then believers were here. Kids were crying, weeping, and we had only one door. There was no ways to go. And my wives and others were taking care of younger kids in the upstairs, another flat. We were in the middle. It was disaster.
Hmm.
It was disaster. We had no hope.
So you had
completely.
No hope in that moment. But what happened to the people?
Yes. Then we were all crying and, crying to the Lord and praying. That was only one thing we could do because there was nothing else we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And when earthquake started kind of slowing down, we came out on the street and the street was again shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't go inside. And the Saturday, so we came out on the street. Got again a guitar, somebody, it was still a shaking, and we started singing for the people because people were crying. And we saw that we had a hope, we have a hope in Jesus. We cannot cry like other people. So we started doing a worship service in the open area, sing the song.
Tell me a little bit more about that particular worship service.
So we started singing. People were there in open field, open area. They were crying because, it was very difficult for them. You know, part of their maybe our families on the mountain died and all were. It was really, really a sorrowful moment there.
Yeah.
But we wanted to show the hope of Christ there with the singings and worship. And they would know that. We could testify Christ with this. At least we have a hope in
yes.
that.
So as the scripture says, you mourn, but not as those who have no hope. You mourn in
yes.
in a way that you know God will hear. And Was there a response from the people around you who were not part of your church during that time?
Yes, yes, yes. They came and listened to us. They stand with us and try to sing, try to forget they don't know what is happening. And we prayed for some of them, you know. And we said it will be all right, okay. You know, at least we could say it's all right.
And in the aftermath of that kind of tragedy, you learn the scope, the magnitude of it. You learn where people have died and where buildings will never be rebuilt again.
Yeah.
But you are focused on the people around you. But as we would say, reality sets in. You've gone through this traumatic experience, but then the trauma goes on. And you as a church have to figure out what is God calling us to in the suffering we find ourselves, and where is God in the suffering that the people around us are going through when all the most important questions are being asked. Is there a God? And if there is, why did this happen to us? You're tackling all the big existential questions that human beings ever go through, and you're getting all of that in heaps and piles around you, literally. When people's world is crumbling around them, we talk about them looking for an anchor. So I know that Compassion Radio came around you in a little way and tried to help with a project, and we did what we could at the time. So I'd like to know how the churches in the West and Compassion Radio's gift, how did you use those? And what were you able to do through the generosity of the Christians from the West?
I want to really thank Compassion Radio, Norms, and Chair, entire family, Compassion families, for our listeners and friends who supported for us. We began from there supplying all the needs. I mean, it went to weeks and weeks there, so we've been there for 3 weeks in a tent, raining, so we have to buy food, water, bringing there. It was so demolished everywhere. I mean, it was crisis. I mean, people can't go and open the stores, but we bought food and supplies, and we went in the mountain, brought utensils and then tents and food for people, and we are still continue doing it.
Now, the people in the church are pretty much living what we read about in the New Testament, about Paul's encouragement to not forget those who were poor back in Jerusalem. And, of course, historically, we know that people in Jerusalem weren't just poor. They were being desperately persecuted, and they were in dire straits. So you have a very similar situation with the people in your country, and you're encouraging your believers to stand up for them and to give generously and watch God fill your cup. I'm very proud of you for the kind of faith you've exercised during this time, and watching God literally multiply with zero and create something. So
thank
I know
you.
We need to find our way back into the center of that. And you have some other dreams that are coming, even in the midst of the reconstruction of simple things like storage cellars and bedrooms and places for people to be out of the snow in the winters. You have even bigger dreams that God's been planting in your heart even during this time. So tell me a little bit about where your vision's going, how God's moving in your heart now.
So Lord is placing me really, really wonderful ministries, like the need of providing the word to people, the Bible translations. You know, I believe in people's lifetime, at least they must have a right to receive the word in their language.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing it. I'm now leading 8-language projects.
8 languages all
translation.
At once. Wow.
Yes.
And how far are these languages
and,
from
with
you?
A different. Oh, it's in mountain. You have to ride hours and hours. Next thing is with the Wycliffe Associates, we are doing an open source Bible that can be available to anybody in the world anytime they can access.
Very good. Are there speakers of these languages around the world that are helping you with this?
It's we help of Wycliffe Associates, and because I'm working with Wycliffe Associates there in Nepal, leading an office, so we do that one. And with the base of this Nepali open source Bible, we're translating other languages.
That's awesome. How soon do you expect to be able to accomplish that task of reaching those 8 people groups?
Some of the like 2 languages already. New Testament is already finished. Before
Marvelous.
I came, flew U.S., one was already finished. The Book of Revelation was remaining a little bit, Mm-hmm. And we went in the field and cultivated, brought our data and uploading.
Very good. So that's two out of the way already. Then you're on the way to getting the printed word to them.
Many are halfway. Yes.
So halfway through the other ones. Will that cover the majority of the people groups and languages that are in Nepal now?
No, it's only 8 languages. There are 31 languages that are remaining out of 127, and there are many more dialects.
Yes. So there's another 30 or so out there ready to be tackled next. But you're proving that you can take on more than one job at a time, and that God somehow leverages your time in a way that really builds the kingdom and quickly.
I want to tell something why it was possible.
Yes, please.
We are taking a route of church-based Bible translation. It was very different route. Because in the past, all these people, you know, recruited and they did the Bible translation. Now, church is involved. Mm-hmm. And the training, leadership training I'm handling, leading in Nepal, using a BIL course, which is Biblical Institute of Leadership Development, every year I come for international summit, the students have adopted the language part of their artifacts, the languages. I assign actually all the 39 to students. It we have started. So it's a progress, it's a pilot project.
Okay.
And so using pastors and leaders to translate the Bible.
Very good.
They know their languages. They know their needs.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members. But sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And there's a brand new way to contact us right now through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's COMPASSION to 53445. You can also give to this month's special project for Door of Hope by texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you so much for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now, today when you support Compassion Radio financially, we'll send you a copy, at your request, of the Psalms in Color coloring book. A beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. And we'll send you a copy today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or visit CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word GIVE to 53445. That's the word GIVE to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. We are so thankful for you. Please be sure to join us again next time for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.